When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McPherson on The Fan. You guessed it. I mean, we do this all the time. KM to 2 a.m. We turn the page on the next day. It is now April 26th, Friday. You ain't got no job. 877-337-6666. We're about to talk about the New York Knicks. I'm kind of upset that, like, Embiid gets to do all of that. It's hard to watch the game when you have the biggest guy on the court flopping around, crying, and playing dirty like that, and it's allowed. So now, right, the series changed. What did I say to y'all before the NBA playoffs? Every single year, somebody gets hurt, and it impacts a game and a series. Well, now Mitchell Robinson is compromised, and we all saw after Embiid didn't get the call that he felt like he should get, they came back down the floor, Embiid fell, and he yanked on Mitchell Robinson's leg, his shoe came off, and this is nonsense, man. It's not basketball. And this is the highest level of competition. This is the reigning MVP. Not my MVP. Jokic should have been the MVP, but we all know how that went. Mario in Long Beach on The Fan again. What's up, Mario?
Yeah. I got a couple of comments about the football real quick, but what you said really bothered me, too, in terms of Embiid. You hit all the numbers right there because he was dirty twice. There was another time where there was an offensive foul and he needed
Hartenstein right in the family jewels. And you guys heard me talk about him kicking Nick Claxton in the nuts last year. I'm like, this guy consistently does this stuff and people act like they didn't see it. The whole world saw it. Call something. And not just like a flagrant foul. Like, eject this man. Get him out of the game. He's the only, like, Draymond, Draymond gets out of the game right away. They get Draymond right out of the paint.
Exactly, and the one you were just talking about when he yanked on his foot, that's a flagrant too.
Yeah,
that's
it's ridiculous, bro. It's like, how do they bend the rules? I don't know.
It's not fair, you know?
No, it's not fair. And now let's see how Mitchell Robinson is the rest of the series, because we all applauded Mitchell Robinson's defense on Embiid in game one because he's got experience dealing with him.
Right, getting football real quick. To your point about Penix, I was just watching his tape right now on YouTube. He looks really good. You know, I'm watching some of the stuff he's doing.
Good. I hope more people just do it. It's free. Just type in Michael Penix Jr. highlights, and you can see how this kid throws the ball, how he feels the rush, evades the rush. He throws a pretty pass, and Kirk Cousins is 35. That deal that they signed is front-loaded for him to play the next 2 years. 36, 37. They just made an investment into their future and beyond. I think it was a great move.
Yep. And the last thing is, the Giants thing looked really good. But what do you think about, what is the plan if Daniel Jones doesn't work out? They have a big problem then, right?
I don't think they have a big problem. Like, I think they have a contract that they structured to be able to opt out next year.
No. I'm talking about how do they produce anything this year if he gets hurt right away. What happened to this season?
Well, I mean, before anything, he's got to get cleared for contact. And I don't believe as of April 26th that man is going to be ready for preseason training camp. I could be dead wrong, but I was crunching the numbers during the season on Kyler Murray's timeline and comparing Daniel Jones's timeline. And I was like, none of you can tell me that he's just magically going to be ready to go, ready to run and be Daniel Jones August 1st. Really, training camp starts late July. Training camp opens, technically, in 3 months. Is Daniel Jones ready to go?
Can I ask you one more question? I'll listen to your answer, and then I'll go.
Of course.
Okay, so this is my question for you, because I respect you being a quarterback and everything. Daniel Jones, his good year that he got the contract, a lot of it had to do with his 700 yards rushing. He would never got that contract without the rushing part of it, right?
Wouldn't have got a lot of those first downs, touchdowns, and wins without his ability to run.
Yes. Right. Now, my question to you, him having the neck injuries and now the knee injuries.
He's not going to be running like that.
Him? If he's not going to run like that, how is he going to make up all of those yards that he got when he was running?
It's that's what I'm saying. I think it's a foregone conclusion. I think mentally he's going to be trying to avoid getting hit. And I also think he's just not going to be able to run like coming off a knee. Like a torn ACL, he's just not going to, I don't think he's going to be the same player. So he's going to really have to rely on something that we don't think is necessarily a strength of his. Throwing the ball on first down, reading the defense, throwing the ball into the end zone. Maybe Malik Nabers helps him a ton. But like I said, again, I don't think that he's cleared for contact by the time that they start getting reps in training camp.
No, I don't
you
think
really
so
might
too.
Be rocking with Drew Lock.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't happen like the same thing happens to Garrett, like Garrett Wilson with the Jets, that you got a receiver that should be getting 1,500. He's only getting 1,000 because of bad quarterback play. Or I just hope the same thing doesn't happen to this guy in the beginning. Thanks for taking my call. Nice talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, but let's say he is ready. That's what you want. You're paying him. You want Daniel Jones to be ready. He's your QB1. And you want him to play the best football that he can play so that you can be productive, competitive, and so that maybe you could even trade him. I don't know. I just know that ACL injury, it's a long road back. And this is a guy who depended on his legs. I used to joke and call him Lamar Jackson. They wear the same number. And you just can't sell me on him being ready to go for training camp to lead the Giants and being the same guy. I think the offensive line can be potentially improved better. I think he's got some weapons, but now you also don't have Saquon Barkley in his best season, the season that got him paid. Saquon balled. Saquon was the safety blanket. Saquon was the reason. You can hand the ball off to him 30 times a game. That's a quarterback's best friend. Devin Singletary can be effective, but he's not Saquon Barkley. 877-337-6666. That's why I jokingly said, but I'm not even joking. I'm like, Malik Nabers needs 20 carries. Hand him the ball, pitch him the ball, direct snap him the ball. And don't just leave it on Daniel Jones to drop back, read the defense, and deliver an accurate ball to Malik Nabers. I'd be more crafty than that, more creative than that. I'd find a bunch of ways to get my playmaker the ball without relying on Daniel Jones to deliver it or Drew Lock to deliver it. All right, back to the Knicks conversation. Okay, you knew that they weren't going to sweep the Sixers. Early on in that game, though, it was very close. It was competitive, but it just, you know, they're in Philly and they're getting all these calls and Embiid is allowed to do whatever he wants. Let's look at the team stats. Their bench got going a little bit more tonight. It's just a different game. And that's what I keep telling you guys. Each one of these games is different, right? All right, you get the 39-point performance from Jalen Brunson. It's in a loss. I'm still waiting for OG Anunoby to have a 20-point game, but he gave you 17. Josh Hart, not for nothing, he gave you 20 points, but he didn't have the rebounds and assists, and he was a minus 30. He didn't have the, first two games that he had. And then off the bench, when you're looking at how the bench played tonight, it's not there. The points are not there. It was a different game. It was a different second half. And I mean, when Embiid goes out there and can do whatever he wants and drops 50 on you, right? Embiid played 41 minutes. He was 13 and 19. He hit 5 out of 7 threes. He hit 19 out of 21 free throws. Say no more. He's a foul merchant. 50 points. That is what he's going to do on his floor with the referees on his side. And you know what? I don't care if people are like, oh, that's not true. I guess I'm a conspiracy theorist. I say this every year about the NBA too. They want these series to go long. They don't want sweeps. They want these series to go 6-7 games. There's so much money involved, ticket sales, TV money. So let's see. Let's see if the Knicks can bounce back and take the second game. But I don't know. If Mitchell Robinson's compromised and you got to rely on Precious Achiuwa and some of these other, I don't know. Maybe Butch knows. Let's go to Baldwin, New York. Butch, you're on the fan. What you got for us?
What's up, bud? I don't want to get into the draft too much. I do want to get into the Knicks, but all I will say is as a Giants fan, I'm happy with the receiver, but we could have the best quarterback in the world. Just like Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, if he's not protected, then what is he? And that's what we've seen of Daniel Jones. That's why Eli made his exit earlier than he wanted to. With that being said, I don't think I've ever seen something I saw tonight in basketball, and that's Joel Embiid impose his will on a game. with everything that happened the other night, the ending, and everyone's complaining they should have got the foul call. It seemed like the refs allowed them to play more physical than us.
Mm-hmm.
They came out more physical than us. And Embiid, I mean, I understand you're not going to throw out the MVP of a playoff game if it's regular season, maybe. The way he came at us in the third quarter and started dropping three-point bombs, and then we're coming back and sticking with him. We're still down, you know, go down by seven, go down by five. Then he hit like five threes in a row.
Yeah.
And
on his home floor,
I mean,
in front of his
on
fans.
His court, yeah. That crowd is going nuts. I mean, I have never seen something like that. We kept fighting back, and we're coming back, and we're hitting threes. And Embiid is just getting the ball behind the arc and just hitting threes. And you're like, holy crap, how the hell is he doing this?
I don't know why he's still hobbled. But he's...
And yes, that as well. And he's hobbled, no less. I wonder, I mean, even with Robinson out, Hartenstein has been playing great. Why aren't we sending everybody at him?
Hartenstein fouled out, and then, I don't know. I know they'll have something for him next game. You go to sleep, you wait, you watch the film, you game plan, it'll be a different game in game four.
I agree with that. But why not, I mean, send Jericho Sims in there. Just tell Jericho Sims, go get three fouls at him real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Stop him, do what you got to do. I mean, I'm asking you, have you ever seen something like that?
No.
The way he just bombed?
No,
I just think it's wrong.
But I understand it's a star-driven league. Like you said, he's the reigning MVP. They're not going to throw him out of the game. He's on his home floor. He's in his city. And they're going to let him have his way. And not even just have his way. He had his way. He took over the game. You could see his energy from the beginning. It was like he wanted to fight everybody on the Knicks.
That's what I'm saying. What was it? He hit at least three threes in a row. We came back and we hit a couple threes and a couple shots to keep it close and still in the fight.
Yeah, well, you can't have Brunson on him. He's gonna shoot right over Brunson, and he wants to play out on the perimeter because he's banged up. He's a different kind of player than Embiid. Well,
he's got a shot like you wouldn't believe. I don't want to give him props because I'm such a big Knicks fan.
Most of us hate watching him, but like he is one of the best players in the world. And when he's on his home floor with the officials on his side, because I don't think that the Sixers are winning this series. I don't know how much he can keep it up. I don't know if he can do that again. But that was a performance from a reigning MVP on his floor, and it was his night tonight.
Absolutely. And then Brunson, as good of a night as Brunson finally had, after his bad two first games.
Didn't matter.
I think it looked like he, in the second half, he was trying to do too much and playing a little out of his own game, not getting the foul calls always.
It's
that he wanted almost. I wouldn't say out of control.
DiVincenzo had five. You're going to need him to have more shot attempts and more points. And like I said, they punched him in the face going to the hoop in the beginning of the game. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, Embiid should have been thrown after that. I mean, in a regular season game, like you said before.
It's just ridiculous. It's like, it's not basketball. When I'm watching the beginning of the Knicks game, I'm like, this is nonsense. I already know. I'm like, this is it's tilted in their favor. They want this series to go seven games.
I mean, of course, Draymond Green has got a little bit worse of a reputation by far, and I get that. But, I mean, you're pulling guys down. You're hitting them in the nuts. You're elbowing them. You're pushing them
in the
face.
It's MMA. It's WWF. It's like right away. It's like Embiid was trying to fight the Knicks team. They were trying to punk the Knicks. And he was doing things that were not basketball moves.
It kind of looked like it was known that the refs maybe were told, let them play. And the 76ers came out a lot more physical than we were ready and prepared for.
Yeah.
And just weren't prepared to deal with their physicality.
Something I always say is these guys, like Giannis, like Embiid, like Luka, LeBron, like they get the benefit of the doubt. They get all the calls. And sometimes these officials are like in awe of these guys. They just watch them. Like they don't know they can call something. Like, come on, man. You got to call the game right.
No, I hear. Do you think the NBA at some point tells them, hey, let them play?
Coming off of the 2-minute report and all the hoopla over how, that's egregious. That can't happen, whatever. Okay. Now you go down to Philly and you're in their territory, their stomping grounds. Very early on, the refs should have got a hold of that, and since they didn't, Embiid took over, had his way, and it was his night, 50-point game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And about the Giants, like I said before, I mean, we could build this team up with great receivers and all that as much as we want.
The offensive line is better, they could add.
We've signed a couple guys. I mean, same with the Jets too. I mean, I don't hate the Jets.
John Runyon Jr. is on the Giants. They got the guy Illuminor. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt from Minnesota. It's his second year at center. Evan Neal with a different coach. Maybe he's a different guy. And obviously Andrew Thomas, you just need him to be healthy. Their offensive line should be fine. I don't know. Let's see. Daniel Jones. Pray on Daniel Jones' knee to be healed up and him to be on one. He dodged one tonight that they didn't take J.J. McCarthy.
As much as there's hoopla about that, with all my friends I talk, I believe that the Giants brass is smarter than I am, and that you have to give Daniel Jones. Obviously, they paid him, so they're not just going to just run away.
Yeah.
I would hope that they see something that we're not seeing, and if this guy is and can be healthy, and we give him time, then he could be a great quarterback, like we paid him to be. You know, even though we kind of paid him because our hands were tied. And the money should have gone to Tiki, but...
to Saquon. But I believe... Thanks for the call, Butch. We're messing up all the names tonight. I just said Daniel Jones, so Daniel Jones turned into Daniel McCarthy. Sound like Daniel McCartan. Carton and Roberts. J.J. McCarthy. No, at the end of the day, Giants fans, you made the right pick. You took a guy that can come into this league and light up the league right away. And I think any NFL caliber quarterback, which you have three of them, you have three quarterbacks that have played NFL games and won NFL games, they can get him the ball with a quick slant, then get him the ball with a little in route, a little tunnel screen, and he should be able to do the rest. You have an offensive-minded coach that's going to know what to do with him. They did not reach for J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy was never the guy. There was always like a top three, four guys in this draft. The top three guys came right off the board, and they didn't reach for Michael Penix Jr. Could you imagine that? If they reach for Michael Penix Jr. at 6, I would have liked the move, honestly. But then it's like, how do you pass on Malik Nabers, who also fits a need? You don't take an injury-prone Michael Penix Jr. when you already paid injury-prone Daniel Jones. But the Falcons can. The Falcons are desperate for quarterback play. The Falcons are desperate to get right under center, behind the center. So they just made a play in the offseason to pay Kirk Cousins. Yeah, that's your number one quarterback. And get Michael Penix Jr. ready behind him in case he goes down. 877-337-6666. Dave and Comac, I said the Isles are cooked. Do you agree or you think that they can come back? You know they're not coming back.
I think the Islanders need to fire Ra. Because he should have left for Lama in as goalie for the game three, and they need to get rid of Lou. They need to get rid of both goaltenders. Need to go, both of them. You can't tell me, like I heard Greg Picker on one of the Islanders announcers say, "Oh, Sorokin didn't have it tonight." No. Sorokin didn't have it the last 2 years, the entire regular season and in the playoffs. Right? He needs to go. I don't care if you get a bag of balls for the guy, or pucks, I should say, right? Get him out of here, right? Get another goaltender through the draft and start rebuilding the entire team. That means Varlama and Sorokin go. Get rid of Horvat and Barzell and whatever other players you can get rid of. And never mind the no-trade clause. You trade them to a contender and you take the draft picks and rebuild the team with better scorers that are younger and faster, like the Devils started off with. Unfortunately, the Devils didn't make the playoffs this year, but they had the right idea. And just like Florida, who has the younger team, and just like the Rangers that have the younger players also that are forwards, I mean, this is ridiculous. Every year it's the same thing, and every year they go nowhere, and the fans are stupid enough to play for playoff tickets, right? And then they're out in the first round, like I said to begin with, all along this entire year.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Dave. Better luck next year. That probably is the only Islanders call. I think we've woken up the Knicks fans, and a lot of them that drove down and went to the game, I was telling you to go. You guys understood the assignment. I saw Christian Winfield put out there, you know, there was let's go Knicks chants before the game even started. Knicks fans interrupting the Sixers intros. Good. That's what you're supposed to do. Impose your will. Go down there and make them feel your presence, man. I feel like, man, DiVincenzo, Delaware Jordan had that big dunk in the beginning. But once they smacked him in the face, I don't know. He didn't do much else. Let's hear from the fans that were at the game, and get some calls from some people that were in the arena, and you know, just tell us how it felt and what went down. Zig from Trenton, I know I talked to you last night, and you went down there. Go for it, Zig. You're on the Fan.
What's happening, Keith? Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised at the amount of Knicks fans that were there. I'd say it was probably maybe 60-40, 65-35, Sixers fans, Knicks fans. We did make our presence known, especially early in the first half and late in the second quarter. There were some good Let's Go Knicks chants, but the Sixers couldn't miss in the third quarter. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything about the refereeing, but they didn't call much early, but they called a lot late. But Sixers couldn't miss in the third quarter. You got Cam Payne taking James Harden step backs for three and making them. Like, where is he coming from? But like you said, it wasn't going to be a Knicks sweep. The Sixers were going to win a couple games. So you figure, you know, they win this game. It was really a must-win for them. And B goes, gets 50 on one leg. I think it was like a quiet 52, because I really didn't realize it until like the middle of the fourth.
Yeah, he hit 19 of his free throws, so there you go.
Right, exactly. I mean, we didn't take a lot of free throws, but again, you can't win when the team doesn't miss. I think they hit like 10 threes or something in the third quarter. But I was surprised with the Knicks contingent that was there. But, you know, it is what it is. They had to take one. They won one in their home arena. It is what it is.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to another fan that was at the game. It is what it is. It's a make-or-miss league. I say that all the time. Sometimes guys go on runs. It's also a game of runs. They got hot on their home floor where they play most of their games. They're comfortable there. It's a series. And Embiid drops 50. They're not supposed to lose when he drops 50 on them. It just sucks that Brunson got going, gave you 39, and you can't get the win. But that's one game. I've been saying Knicks in five, and I still think that's very attainable. I think that could happen. I think that they'll assess what happened tonight. Both sides will obviously come in with a game plan for game three. And if you can steal that next game, we'll see what happens back at the Garden. Let's go to Rob in Woodmere on the Fan. What's up, Rob? How was it?
What's going on, Keith? I'll tell you, this is a lost opportunity, man. We could have won this. You know, first of all, this might not be a popular take, but I think the Jets, instead of trading them, they should have just taken on R.J. McCarthy. You know, they need a backup.
Wait. J.J., we're all butchering the names. I know it's late. J.J. McCarthy, no way in this God's green earth, modern day time, were the Jets even possibly thinking about taking J.J. McCarthy at number 10 or 11.
I know, but they need a backup. You don't know about Rod.
They have Tyrod Taylor.
Anyway, yeah, but he's going to get hurt after four plays. He's not a long-term plan. We need a long-term plan.
Everybody's talking about getting hurt, and these guys are injury-prone. We don't know that. We don't know until they play and whatever. Like, we didn't know Aaron Rodgers was going to get hurt. But I understand. I don't think the Jets are drafting a quarterback. Maybe they draft a late-round quarterback to be third string, but they have other needs. But go on. About the Knicks game. Yes, very early on, it was a battle. Very early on, it looked like, hey, they're neck and neck. But, yeah, in the second half, they put up 43 in that third quarter to 27, and that's all she wrote. Fourth quarter was close, too, but that was the run.
I'll tell you, we had a very nice showing with the Knicks fans. We're going crazy the first half. You know, Embiid is such a dirty player. I mean, there's one, I don't know if you guys were able to see it on TV.
Everybody saw. They're playing it right now. We all saw all. We saw the smack to the face. We saw the knee to the family jewels. We saw him grab Mitchell Robinson's leg and crank his leg. And the whole night he's crying and looking for calls.
That was crazy. He didn't get kicked. He didn't get ejected on that. That was the dirtiest player I've ever seen. And on the other side, I don't know if you saw when OG fell on Maxey's leg. So Embiid is standing there jumping up and down, obviously projecting, because if it was him, he would have crushed his ankle. And if you look, OG actually goes out of his way not to fall on Maxey's foot so he doesn't hurt him.
Yeah, because you know? that's sportsmanship.
Like, that's the point. Embiid trying to hurt them and OG actually being a good guy and trying to protect the other teammates, the other guy.
Filthy in Philly.
So, you know, they had that.
They're going to play dirty. Thanks for the call, Rob. R.J. McCarthy, No. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine the Jets drafting R.J. McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy, with Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor on the roster? No, you have two veteran quarterbacks. I know they have an injury history. We got to stop with the injury history. I have an injury history. I played football from age 10 to 22. I got hurt a bunch of times. Like it's a rough-ass game. My coach used to say that at JMU. It's a rough-ass game, man. You're stepping out here knowing you could get hurt. People have been paralyzed on this field. It's a rough-ass game, man. Buckle your chin strap. Tie your cleats. Get ready to go. 877-337-6666. Another call from somebody at the game. G in Stamford, Connecticut.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. It was great seeing all the Knicks fans at the game. Unbelievable atmosphere. There was a couple of Sixers fans next to me during the game, and they were like, man, we're getting bodied in our own arena. I can't believe you guys are out here. And I was telling him, honestly, all the blue-collar fans are coming come to this game because we can actually afford this.
Yeah.
So, you know, we made the trip out.
There was a lot of shots of kids, Knicks kids, and I saw some, you know, some camera shots of, like, fathers bringing their kids. I'm like, yeah, because dads can afford to get 3-4 tickets and bring the kids to Philly, drive down there for that. You can't do that up here.
100%. And, you know, when Devo had that dunk, the arena went crazy. It was electric.
Yeah.
I was feeling that, you know, something was going to happen, but... You know, the Sixers aren't going to make a million threes every game. They're hitting their shots. And, you know, uncharacteristically, we had a lot of turnovers in the fourth.
Yes.
Those backcourt throws, it was a
10-point game. It was like 114-104, and Brunson turned the ball away. And I'm like, that's the game right there. It was like 3 minutes left. I'm like, they could have made a run. They're never out of it, right? They play to the, you know, very last second. But, hey, it's a series, man. You're going to lose some. And, like you said, what are the chances that Embiid drops 50 the rest of the way? His knee is getting heavier and heavier. His knee is getting more swollen, and it's a series. Knicks in five.
You know, I'm interested to see what Tibbs does, because the one knock on him is that, you know, he doesn't make adjustments as quick as people always say. He's good at in-game adjustments. But in-series adjustments, historically, when he was the Wolves coach, he hasn't seen them. So let's see what he does in the next game, you know. As soon as I saw Precious enter the game, Mitch was out. I'm like, all right, you know, maybe this isn't our day. But, you know, atmosphere was still electric. Knicks fans came out. I expect the same in game four. And, you know, I still had a good time at the game. We'll see what happens in game four.
It's the playoffs, baby. Thanks for the call, G. 877-337-6666. If you made the trip, call me up and tell me about it. Tell me, you know, what the Sixers fans were saying. I mean, looking at the tickets and looking at the prices drop, it seemed like they were abandoning the mission, abandoning their team. There's another game coming up. We'll look ahead. Mitchell Robinson, you're going to need him. He's going to need to ice up and be ready to go. And Tibbs got to make adjustments. It's a series. I still am sticking with my Knicks in five. Gentlemen sweep. Sixers had to get a game, and they get the first one. So we'll see what happens from here, man. Call me up. We're talking Knicks. We can, of course, talk about the Islanders. Those are the two playoff teams that played in New York tonight. I don't mind everybody completely forgetting about the Yankees splitting the series with the Oakland A's, only scoring one run off of Trevino short porch job. And the NFL draft was yesterday, and we've got round two coming up. So let's react to Malik Nabers and Olu Fashanu and everything else. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Man, tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is Michael Penix Jr. What a dream. He's a kid from Florida, and he jumps way over the projections. He goes eighth overall to the Atlanta Falcons. Man, I just saw on Instagram, if you bet $50 on Michael Penix Jr. to be the eighth overall pick, that $50 would have turned into $4,300. It was plus $8,500. I mean, I was just talking to Fleegs about it. Fleegs, you cut your mic on. I mean, we were talking about the game day experience in Atlanta. We were talking about the money that Arthur Blank has, how much they've spent on Kirk Cousins. I think it plays out like this, folks. Kirk Cousins at 35, coming back from an Achilles, he might not be as strong as we think. He might not be on solid ground. He might not be ready to play the whole season. They need quarterbacks. They just suffered through Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke. Now I think they have two guys that are NFL ready that can throw the ball, that can take advantage of their weapons. There's a couple scenarios. You just mentioned one to me from my own Dallas Cowboys.
Well, yeah, it reminds me of the possibility because Cousins coming off the ACL tear, probably going to be ready week one, maybe not the guarantee or the Achilles. Yeah. What happens if, like Romo and Dak, you're a Cowboys fan, the rookie plays well, this guy who's supposed to be the quarterback of the team, all of a sudden you're a couple weeks into the season, the rookie's on fire, you can't bench him. And with the offensive talent he has around him, Penix is a guy we both like, he's close to NFL ready.
Yeah.
If the offense is clicking with Bijan and Kyle Pitts and Drake London, all of a sudden Arthur Blank is one of those owners that I don't think he cares about the money. If Michael Penix Jr. is playing really well, Falcons are leading that bad division, then he'll say, Kirk, I'm sorry, maybe we'll trade you, but this kid's going to play.
Arthur Blank is getting up there in age. Arthur Blank is rich AF. Arthur Blank is 81. He's trying to win. He's trying to win a Super Bowl. That division is for the taking. If you take the division, right, and you get to the playoffs, right, you're a couple steps away. I think they're looking at this too. I was trying to look up the Kirk Cousins contract. I don't know if I had it. Either way, Kirk Cousins has two seasons. So he's got a $180 million deal. And shout out to Kirk Cousins' agent. He has made so much money just being mid, just being a regular NFL quarterback. So it's a $294 million in career earnings. Fleegs just said, I didn't know that he's made almost $300 million. That doesn't make any sense. He's got one playoff win. All right, man. Like, if I was just a little bit taller, a little bit stronger, a little bit better at football, Kirk Cousins is the same age as me.
It's the guy who lost a playoff game to Daniel Jones. And listen, not that Cousins was awful in that game, but $300 million.
Yeah, bro. So he's got a $180 million contract, four-year deal, but it's front-loaded. The payout is set for him to receive $90 million in 2024-25, plus another $10 million in 2026, they'll be able to move off from him. They know that. Like, this is not, people think this is like a knee-jerk reaction. This is something that they just like did in the moment. Nah, they everyone was saying Dallas Turner, and they didn't tell a soul that, hey, our future is Michael Penix Jr. If he's there, which the Giants were probably the only team that would have possibly taken him, we're going to take him, and they did.
It's the lower ceiling, higher floor pick, right? Like we talked about, especially with the Jets. Not the same exact situation, but with Rodgers, older quarterback you brought in, probably as close a comparison as we can come up with for the Falcons. And they didn't get the player that can help them maybe win a Super Bowl this year. That's what we've heard that Kirk Cousins is not thrilled about right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they maybe watched the Jets last year and what happened when that quarterback that you brought in with the good team around him, when that quarterback goes down and you're looking at a backup that you don't trust, they might have said, listen, maybe this isn't the pick that gets us over the top, but it is the kind of pick that if something were to happen to Cousins, you can still win that NFC South with Michael Penix Jr.
I've already made the Zach Wilson, Desmond Ridder comp because there were times last year where I'm like, Zach Wilson's the worst quarterback in the NFL. Desmond Ritter's right next to him. They don't want to end up in a situation where they got to go back to Desmond Ridder. They don't now. It's Michael Penix Jr. as QB2. And you know what I'm saying as far as like him fitting the culture? Atlanta is a black city. When you go to Atlanta, there are black people everywhere. There are black people working in the bars, in the restaurants. It is just like a certain culture down there that is going to embrace Michael Penix Jr. That's why I said the guy has the do-rag. They see him freestyle rapping on the sideline. After the game, in the post-game, he's shouting out his homies that he grew up with. Some of his homies locked up. Yo, shout out to such and such. I didn't forget about you, homie. Like, he just fits Atlanta to the point where, like, you make that move knowing that in this modern day time with social media and branding and all these other things, right? He's also a left-handed quarterback, give you shades of Michael Vick. You make a move like that, it's a splash move. People are buying Michael Penix Jr. jerseys tonight. My Casamigos big shot of the night, Michael Penix Jr. We'll see how it plays out. The NFL script is ridiculous. They're undefeated. The storylines, like now, maybe he sits behind Kirk Cousins for a year or two and then becomes the man. Maybe Kirk Cousins goes down at some point and he becomes a man. But I just understand that this is a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have two, you don't have one. And this is a team that struggled. And literally, Raheem Morris's first words on the podium at the Combine was, and they all got to see Michael Penix Jr. at the Combine, and a lot of people were saying he was the best quarterback at the Combine. But Raheem Morris's words at the Combine were, if we had better quarterback play, I might not be standing here. So obviously, they were on a mission to make sure they had not one good quarterback, but two good quarterbacks, a veteran, and they drafted one as insurance. I think it was a great move. 877-337-6666. We're talking draft. We're talking Knicks. We're talking Islanders, Jets, Giants, everything, man. It's the most wonderful time. Ross in Bergen County, back on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How's it going, man?
Good, good. Watching J.J. McCarthy now. He's telling everybody he's going to the Giants. Just kidding, Minnesota. I'm a Vikings. Skull, that's your man. I know you love the Vikings.
Well, that's certainly a way to put it. You know, I'll say this, though. I get on Questy a lot. I remember last time I called you mainly about the Vikes. I just went off on them, mainly the Lewis Cena, Andrew Booth draft. But listen, man, last year grabbing Jordan Addison, that whole receiver flurry included Quentin Johnson and JSN. I know Zay Flowers there too. Jordan Addison, stud year one this year. And you know, it's still TBD. I think McCarthy, the whole thing, listen, I'm no – college football expert, I'd be lying if I said I was anything close to it. But this whole notion that he's a system QB, I'm seeing people calling him, you know, the next Jimmy G, Zach Wilson, all these comps. Listen, if there's any system in the league to get, you know, added to, probably San Francisco, and Minnesota is not too far from the top of that list. You know, talk about a quarterback, you don't really need to win you games. That's essentially what I'm hearing from, you know, Michigan, is he was basically the last resort as to who was winning them games on that offense. It was mainly Corum, and, you know, you go down the list. He wasn't winning them games. And I don't think, you know, you look at Kirk, too. Kirk was really never having to play hero ball either, because it was kind of, you know, he had Jefferson on one side and Addison on the other. You got those two, plus you got Hockenson up the middle. I don't think he has to be exceptional. You look at a guy like, you know, Daniels going into Washington. I guess so much, you know, Caleb, but they added around him in Chicago, kind of same situation. But I don't think McCarthy has to be all that to succeed with us. And Ben, good. Trading up for Dallas Turner, too, man. You know, what was he, like top 10 projected?
Yeah, I think he was supposed to go Atlanta. 8 to Atlanta. Right. That's a good move.
Right. That's an awesome move. And you look at it, you know, they lose D. Hunt, obviously, big loss. He goes to Houston.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter
gone. They replace him with Grenard, and this is the pick they got from Houston, so it was essentially an unofficial trade, and I think it's a win-win for both of us. So,
Josh McCown comes in to coach quarterbacks for you.
And, dude, Kevin O'Connell, you just talk about you and Kirk being 35. Sean McVay, 3 years older than both of you guys, and he already has a tree going. Two prolific coaches
hey,
in this league.
He got
KOC and
he got production out of Josh Dobbs. He got production out of Nick Mullins. He's, you know, he's going to figure something out with these quarterbacks.
He didn't get anything out of Mullins. Jaron Hall was, you know.
Jaron Hall was terrible. He couldn't even throw spirals.
Made Desmond Ridder look like Michael Vick. But, you know, all in all, dude, listen, you know, there's really times I'm excited with this team. And, you know, the heartbreak that comes with them, I say they're even worse than the Jets sometimes. And, you know, that whole thing with the Super Bowl logo being purple and green this year, if we got a Viking-Jets Super Bowl, that'd be must-see TV. Because someone's
Sam Darnold versus
year drought of misery. Yeah, Sam Darnold finishes the story. Yep, you can't make it up, dude. But
you imagine Sam Darnold wins the Super Bowl for the Vikings defeating the Jets? Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
I said the only reason he's on our team is because he heard we play in a dome. He wants to avoid the ghosts. But you know, all in all, dude, I gotta say, you know what? I want to add to your Atlanta topic. And listen, I think Penix. I wouldn't have been mad if we got Penix either. It's not so much taking anything against him as a player. I just think you look at Atlanta in years past and going into tonight, too, it just seems like there's just no structure to that team. I mean, we're talking about – you bring up the vet and rookie, and I was kind of pointing to when Kirk got drafted, and that was the same draft that took RG3. So that's kind of different, though, two rookies, and then this is a vet and a rookie. But you look at it, you know, the urgency to go out and get Kirk, to the fact that this whole tampering thing – like, you know, Arthur Blank having money to piss away is one thing, but the fact that they're essentially going to lose picks, that's how fast they jumped out to get him.
Yeah.
And he uses a top pick on essentially his backup. And I know he's 35. He wasn't a long-term answer. to essentially Darnell Mooney's the only thing you've added. Also, looking at years past, they treat the top ten pick like a fantasy draft. The last 4 years, they've taken skill positions. You know, they're absolutely wasting Kyle Pitts. Bijan's talented, but A, you don't take a running back that high, and B, they're misusing him. He's returning punts. And a local kid in Jalen Carter got taken the pick after. And I know it's Arthur Smith. He's at the door, but you bring in Morris now. That was kind of another thing, too, the whole thing. That was.
And Ross, I don't mean to stop you. This brain trust, Arthur Blank chose them over Bill Belichick.
Well, that's what I was just going to get to. It seemed like we were just waiting for the day that Belichick got announced as coach, and the last second, Raheem Morris enters the conversation. Like, I don't know what they're cooking up. Obviously, they got better this offseason. It's just, I hate to say, they remind me, well, no, the Dave Tepper and the Walmart dude from Denver, the Steve Cohen, the Cohens of the NFL, but it just seems like they just lacked, a direction. Just seems like they go out and they go out and get the win now, moving Kirk, and then the top 10 pick they have. Like, you even saw the quote with Kirk was completely thrown off. Like where is his say in the thing? You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't have a say. He hasn't taken a snap for them.
I don't know what they're doing. I think you brought it up. Tampa could be a threat. The other two were Carolina's a complete disaster. They'll probably win that division by default. And they got names like, they got Jesse Bates on defense was a big pickup. I don't remember the last time they took a defensive player in the first round. I think it was 2021, I think I just read up on Wikipedia, but I don't know with them. We'll have to wait and see. Like I said, it's all TBD after the draft. Was it Terrell? I'm trying to go off memory.
They took a corner years ago. I can't remember the kid's name. I have his image in my head. They took a corner some years ago.
Yeah. But either way, we'll have to wait and see. Real quick, one quick thing I want to add. You said I took David Comack's call before. I got to shout him out. Maybe one of your more underrated callers. Yeah, he reminded me of. Last year, we had our own playoff woes, and I remember seeing a tweet, someone in all caps, and so an Islander fan was so happy to see us coming up with our Artemi Panarin trade, mock trades on the air, and I just had to go back, find that tweet. I said, as we were speaking, Patrick Ra and Verlander, or whatever he said, getting traded for a bag of balls. So I said, we come full circle, and hopefully it doesn't come back to bite us. But on that topic, Evan Roberts, and it's kind of my last point, thanks for the time, man, but, Evan was kind of alluding to it in the afternoon about, not letting teams back into series, and I'm kind of fearing the worst that this might be what the Knicks did tonight. If you were going to, and listen, I'm not, like you said, too, I wasn't expecting a sweep. I was just saying go in, take 1 and 2 in Philly and close it out in the Garden Game 5. Now I kind of look at this as a must-win Game 4.
Yeah.
Because, obviously it's not a must-win.
Hard to win 3 in a row.
But you look at the 21, and Evan name dropped these two teams, the 21 Nets versus Milwaukee, and the 22 Rangers versus the Lightning.
Yeah.
Up 2-0 in the series, leading both Game 3s, and went on to just absolutely crumble, and the Bucks went up winning the whole thing, and the Lightning came within two games of the Cup. So I think sometimes that Game 3, sometimes it's worse when the game's a close final because you had that lead and fell asleep at the wheel rather than going pedal to the metal. Like, if you're going to lose Game 3, pull a Cleveland tonight and then just completely not show up. Because it seems like, the Knicks had that, showed up to play and kind of, took it easy, got a little comfortable going into half. And what was the third quarter? They had got to score like 20. I couldn't watch the whole game.
Yeah, that 43, they just, I don't know.
They
let
them off the hook. And that's
tough.
Look at the Rangers last year, dude. Everybody points to Game 4, but Game 3, when they didn't bury Jersey in overtime, and they had, Game 4 became you went from, potentially going up 3-0, and now you were facing a 2-2 going back to Prudential, dude. It's that quick. You got to leave one little crack, one little open crack in the door is all it takes for a team to sneak back into a series, and that's kind of what I'm fearing tonight. You even look at the Rangers game, too. I brought it up. They didn't play their best hockey. They got the win. But, it's kind of, a wake-up call that, at the end of the day, you're playing another playoff team. Just because they're not as high of a seed as you doesn't mean they got something else to play for.
I expect the Rangers fans – thanks for the call, Ross. I expect the Rangers fans to travel to D.C. It's not that far of a drive. I've told my story about when I went to the March Madness tournament in 2006, saw George Mason defeat UConn. And my uncle got drunk, and his boy got drunk, and I had my permit, and they're like, you're good to drive, right? And I'm like, back to Jersey from D.C.? We made it. I was scared S-less, but we made it out of the Verizon Center or whatever it was called back then. But, yeah, back to what Ross was saying about these series, and I just said, it's hard to win the first three games of a seven-game potential series. But the Hurricanes just did it. And, I mean, arguably those first two games could have went to the Isles. Yeah, shout out to Dave and Comac. There's got to be some changes with the Islanders. Let's go to Mogo in Rockland County next up on the Fan. What you got for us?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Yeah, so I was at the Islander game tonight. I'm a Rangers fan, but I still went. I had never seen a team. They just, the whole game, they had so many chances, and they were just not executing. Carolina had the puck for, like, literally the whole period, the second period.
Dead men walking.
What?
Dead men skating. They, you know, they know that they're cooked. That's what I was saying. I watched that first period. They're going through the motions at this point. They're not beating Carolina.
Right. Once I saw them go down, once they went down 2-0, I'm like, Cindy, it's a big hill to climb back up. There was almost no chance. They ended up scoring a goal, whatever, a couple goals, but game was never the same. It was probably the quietest game I've ever been to. I've been to louder regular season games.
Yeah.
No one was into it.
That game, too, was demoralizing, and then the fans try to get up. They try to get excited. They try to get pumped up for having a home playoff game, but that's like, that's not the kind. You don't like having a home playoff game down two games when you could have won the first two games, and I mean you had a 3-0 lead in the second game. It's just hard to even fake it.
Right. I mean, well, the good thing is I'm a Rangers fan, and hopefully, you know, we'll get pretty far this year.
Yeah, I think the Rangers are going to handle business. Like I said, I expect the same way Knicks fans got in the car and drove down to Philly. I expect Rangers fans to drive down to D.C., and obviously the Capitals aren't as tough of an opponent as the Sixers are to the Knicks, but it's playoff time, man. It's rare. Like, just to even be there, if you can go see it, if you can go see it for less, as much as the tickets cost in Madison Square Garden, if you can go down there to D.C. and get a ticket, why not? Let's keep talking to folks that are at the game. That's one of my favorite things to do on the Fan. It's like, you know, we're all listening. A lot of us watch. If you went and you have something to share from the experience in there, call up 877-337-6666. Joe in Brooklyn, talk to me. You're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? First time, long time.
Appreciate it.
So I went to the Knicks game today. You know, it was a nice atmosphere. It was like 50-50, I think. There was a lot of Knicks fans there. It was a great to see that. Problem I had with today was absolute treacherous call today. Embiid, every time he walked, he got fouled. They called him. He had more free throws than the whole Knicks put together. And what happened that first quarter was extreme tomfoolery. Sorry to say that. He should have been ejected. If it was a regular season game, he would have been gone quickly.
Yeah.
And LeBron, Embiid, all those guys, they let them bully their way through the league.
Yep.
Not right.
Yep. It was violence, bro. That game, I'm watching the game, I'm like, yeah. This is MMA. What is going on?
Yeah.
It is unruly. And it looked like Embiid had intentions of fighting the Knicks tonight. He was not going down without a fight. And they let him do it. They let him do what he wanted.
They should bring John Jones to the game, the NBA, if they're letting Embiid get away with that, no?
Yeah, that's why you kind of wish you have a Julius Randle type. Julius Randle's not getting punked. Julius Randle just...
Yeah, Julius Randle stood on business.
Yeah, he would. You know, you look at guys like Brunson, DiVincenzo, Hart. What are they going to do? Robinson tried, but like he was compromised because Embiid cranked his ankle.
Yeah, and he got injured because of that.
Yeah, it's not right. And the league is, you know,
that's not right.
As we talk about the 2-minute report and the fouls not called, like what's the league going to say after this one? Nothing.
Yeah.
What's the 46-minute report in the beginning of the game when Embiid was wilding out? Embiid was on the floor so much. I was talking to Zoo about it, right? We were like, you know why he's always hurt? Because his ass is always on the hardwood. I've never seen a 7-foot guy spend so much time on the ground, crying, looking at the refs.
Yeah, the refs had their house on the Sixers tonight, I guess.
Yeah, because the NBA wants to see this thing go 7. I mean, it's right for business. It's the best for business. Thanks for the call, Joe. Let's take another Knicks call here. Actually, no, let's break here. We're getting up against it. All right, I do want to keep it rolling with the Jets conversation, though, and I'll bring Fleegs in to talk about Olufashanu. I've been calling him Fashanu is what I was hearing Mel Kiper call him, so I'm going to go with that. Either way, I think it was the right pick. And, you know, we'll talk more about the Jets and what they're going to do these next couple days. They don't have the second-round pick, but I think they'll be able to get a receiver that slips and people forget about. And I honestly think the best move was Joe Douglas finessing the Vikings. They moved up one pick, and they gave up picks to do so to get J.J. McCarthy. 877-337-6666. Nobody wants to talk about the Yankees? That's fine. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 1 hour left. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.